interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your lives.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy hump day to you. And it is a crazy Wednesday, April 17 edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports, touching down on 1037 The Game. Ben Love, back from Metairie, and alongside the famous Clint D., inside the 237 Roof Studios. Remember, no job too big or too small. Just call Lafayette Roofing, 237-7663. News breaking literally as we speak. I'll share it with you. I'll give you my take on everything going down with LSU and Joe Oliva. And then we got 2 hours to kick some butt here with you on Acadiana Sports Station. Busy day. And it just got a little busier, or maybe you could say a little more muddied with the waters. After the news this morning from the Baton Rouge Business Report that LSU AD Joe Oliva was set to resign his post, and yeah, that's typically the thing you do when the writing's on the wall that you might be getting pushed out the door. The Baton Rouge Advocate since followed up with the Board of Supervisors member saying, quote-unquote, it's a done deal. Within the last 3 minutes, this is hot off the wires here, LSU themselves issuing a release, the title of it, Joe Oliva to Transition to a New Role at LSU. So dig this. It's a bit of the Scott Farmer play. RUL peeps, they're shaking head up down right now. LSU Vice Chancellor and Director of Athletics Joe Oliva today announced he is stepping down from his current position and transitioning to a new role as Special Assistant to the President for Donor Relations. Oliva, according to the release, will continue to serve in his current role until a new AD is named. How about that for a bit of a twist? And how about that to avoid what would have been a fairly minimal, but still, some form of a payout to Joe Oliva if indeed he was fired without cause? And with that, we welcome you in. It's a busy show. I'm going to share exactly what's happening, my take on it, but there's the latest news. We had to lead off with it. I'm giving you a lot of leeway today. I'm serious. I've done this intentionally. I have blocked out the entire 4 o'clock hour for us to have a conversation. Yes, you're getting my take first, and I got a few of them. But I've literally moved a guest that was scheduled for today to tomorrow. We are going to talk about this. Don't make me regret this. I'm giving you some leash today. Joe Oliva is out as AD. It's now official. And I want you to comment on it by calling us at 706-0111. The entire 4 o'clock hour should get a little spicy here. We invite that when and if you're ready. Again, 706-0111. Here's what I think. Number one, the straw that broke the camel's back in this case to me is weird. And it's definitely not all Joe Oliva's fault. But almost certainly, the right outcome is upon us. And it probably is overdue. What do I mean by that? I think it's a little iffy that the Will Wade thing is being pinned solely on Joe Oliva. There have been emails that have come out via Freedom of Information Acts detailing that F. King Alexander made Joe Oliva suspend his golden boy in Will Wade. And so the fact that this is the final straw is interesting because I think some of his sins with Les Miles in November of 2015 were a lot more egregious. I think some of his dealings over the years with that football program, the inability to do anything about women's basketball, botching a couple of men's basketball hires, some of the very public bravado he expressed that probably wasn't necessary. I think there were a lot of reasons that Oliva showed that maybe he wasn't the best fit or the best person for this job. The straw that broke the camel's back, to me, wasn't the most grievous sin of Oliva's. But still, it's got us to a place where I think LSU needed to get, and I don't think they should be done yet. You want my opinion? It needs to go further up the chain, and we'll be getting there momentarily. another of my takeaways from today's news. Remember when we, and when I say we, you know I don't mean LSU. I've been able to remove myself from that for years as a journalist broadcaster. Well, remember when we as a society, when we as people in Louisiana, when we as a culture went through the football search that yielded Coach O. And we talked about this as a slam dunk, top 10, maybe even top 5 job in America, if we're being truthful with ourselves. I know Oliva was part of the problem in not being able to land Jimbo Fisher, Tom Herman. But if we're being honest with ourselves, I think we learned that that perception maybe wasn't reality when that search was done. The same may hold true with the AD job. I'm not telling you that LSU doesn't have a chance at Scott Woodward in College Station, whoever else you want to throw about right now, Dan Radakovich at Clemson. I'm not telling you they won't land one of those guys. What I am telling you is this is an incredibly political spot. And boy, I wouldn't want that job, not even for the $725K a year that Joe Oliva was getting paid, not for the $900K a year that Scott Woodward is making at Texas A&M. I wouldn't want that job. You couldn't back the Brinks truck up to my house, and I mean that. You don't have autonomy. You report to the president chancellor. Okay, that's cool. Most people do. And then all of you are at the whim of a bat bleep crazy board of supervisors group. And if you don't believe me, use what happened last night as the best example, maybe ever, of how hard it is to gauge what the BOS is doing with some of their BS. And I couldn't be any more serious about this. They met last night, and it wasn't even supposed to be about this. I'm sure they had bigger issues at hand, protecting the university, unrelated litigation. That's what came out as they went into the meeting and as they left and told reporters, nothing to see here, moving along. That's what everybody was told the meeting was about. It was an executive session last night, but here's the crazy part that I'm referring to. They came to this decision to axe Oliva without everyone on the board present. Take a moment to process that and think about any board that you do serve on or have ever served on. Would any of them ever make this type of unilateral decision without all hands on deck? That was one of the most mind-blowing. Maybe it shouldn't have been. Maybe it should have been expected. But if you conduct good, proper business, that was one of the most mind-blowing reports ever from the Baton Rouge Advocate earlier this morning, or maybe early this afternoon. The idea that not every board member was present last night or on board with this decision. Well, I get that you may have to have a majority decision sometimes, but to do it without everybody in the room, wow. And so again, I'll repeat, don't think that this is a slam dunk top 5 or 10 job in America. I'm here to tell you, I don't think it is. There is incredible potential, and there's incredible gains that have already been realized when you consider what the Tiger Athletic Foundation has done, how much they have moved the ball forward over 25 years in Baton Rouge and now beyond. It's incredible what TAF has done. But to think about all the headaches that you have to put up with, you're going to catch all the flack, all the blame, you'll get none of the credit, and you're basically on the end of a bunch of strings that the puppet masters at a crazy board of supervisors controls. Couldn't pay me to take this job. They may go get their man, and I think they want Scott Woodward badly, but wow. I don't think this is a slam dunk top 10 job in America, not even a little bit. The third thing that I'll tell you, I'm not sure today is good news for LSU's two basketball head coaches. Because anytime a new AD comes in, there's a tendency to clean house where there are loose ends, where there is losing, where there's uncertainty, where there's a lack of popularity. Today's probably not a good day for Nikki Fargus. I think this is probably the beginning of the end there. Oliva wouldn't pull that plug. My guess is the next person's going to look hard at doing that. Maybe not right away, but then again, just to give you a parallel example, Dr. Brian Maggard didn't do it right away with Mark Hudspeth either. But sure enough, here we are. A couple years down the road, 1 year into his tenure, Hud's out, Billy Napier's in, the program's moving forward. LSU will do the same thing with women's basketball. Men's basketball, as you can surmise, a little more difficult. A lot going on. A lot of moving pieces. I think we all agree with Will Wade. And I'm done with the prognostication business. What I do know is that if a new AD comes in and doesn't want to deal with this headache, I think that person would have to really consider what they want to do with Will Wade. But then again, let me revert back to point two. Is it their freaking decision to make? And I'll end with this point. Probably firing a bullet a little too early here. Might should save this for throwing shade. Maybe we'll just double back to it. This is one of the most Baton Rouge stories that I've ever seen unfold, what I'm about to share with you. I want you to consider for a moment that Rolf McCollister, the owner, president of the Baton Rouge Business Report, his publication did not publish a single story on Will Wade the entire time that he was being suspended, the entire time that basically it captivated everybody's mind, attention, and certainly shows like this. Not a single report. And yet Rolf McCollister is a member of the LSU Board of Supervisors. But that organization broke the news today. You don't get to choose what you report. That's not how this game works. Now, if you're asked to editorialize, you could choose how you feel about that and how you opine. You don't get to choose the news. It's that simple. The most Baton Rouge story I've ever seen. Don't report anything on Wade as all the bullets are flying. You don't have to editorialize. They didn't even report it. But you better believe, when something they want to get done is finally ready, oh, they're the ones that are going to break it. They'll be the organ out of the house, but technically in-house, that gets to tell you that Joe Oliva is out. It is incredibly comical the way that things always shake out. So whoever the next AD is over there, good luck and God bless. On the other side of this break, I'll ask you who you want to fill that chair next, and then I expect the phone call. 706-0111. We got a couple of scheduled guests today, both in the 5 o'clock hour. Scott Alexander, Primetime Sports. We'll talk a little something different with Scott. He was at the introductory presser today for David Griffin, new president of basketball operations for the New Orleans Pelicans. So we'll talk Pels plus a Saints schedule release. Yeah, we'll be talking Big Easy Sports at 5:15. And we got something special at 5:45. Kyle Gideon is scheduled to join me live inside the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. We're going to talk about a really cool event that's coming up for the Coastal Conservation Association of Louisiana. Busy show today, and it involves you. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back in on 103.7 The Game.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Just a few things going on today, but we're leading off with a big one. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're back in on 103.7 The Game. Joe Oliva out as LSU athletic director, and universally that's being received well. I think a lot of people frustrated that it took this long to get to this point. In this segment, I'm going to ask you what you think, and really who you think should come next. CD, why don't we just go ahead and roll it out now? Let's get the music, then the question.
Exciting and new.
Your sink or swim question of the day, in light of the news that Oliva done leading LSU's athletic department, who would you like to see as LSU's next AD? I know, for our people on social media, we left it open-ended. You don't always favor that. Usually, on the Ardco Equipment Hotline, that makes it all the more better. Who would you like to see as the replacement to Joe Oliva? Whenever you're ready, 706-0111. CD, I'm going to hog the mic here. He didn't see that coming. I think the obvious answer and the low-hanging fruit is Scott Woodward. This is somebody who went to Catholic of Baton Rouge, my alma mater as well, graduated from LSU, worked at LSU, cut his teeth under Dr. Mark Emmert, followed Emmert to UW up in Seattle, replaced him when Emmert went to the NC2A, and in 2016, he took over as the AD at Texas A&M, which, like him or love him, when it comes to the Aggies, or hate him, I guess that's another option, no matter how you feel about Texas A&M, I think we all have to recognize the endowment. And why wouldn't you want to work at a place that had that type of just funds, really, at your disposal? That type of infrastructure, those resources. Since he's had the jack to go out and get his good friend, Jimbo Fisher, to College Station. Side note, wouldn't it be pretty hilarious if a couple of years after being lured over from Florida State, Woodward left Jimbo Fisher in lurch at College Station? He'd be leaving him with a lot of money to think about it on. But it's an interesting side note. And so Woodward now making $900,000 a year base salary through January 2021. Some of the reports coming out of College Station are that it's a very real possibility that he comes over. He would be a slam dunk. I understand the connections. Parents still live here. According to Ross Dellinger, has a camp on the bayou. I just am not certain that coming home is going to be enough for him. And I don't know this man personally. I'm not speaking from any type of inside information. I just look at the landscape in Baton Rouge and, wow, is there a lot to take over? There's a mess with the men's basketball program. NCAA is almost certainly coming on campus. The FBI has been to Baton Rouge not long ago. Now, there's a lot of good going on as well, and I'm not blind to any of that. But if I'm Woodward, maybe even more than the money, and I know that's crazy to some of you, I want promises and assurances of my authority and how far it extends and who I have to report to on certain matters. So I do think that Scott Woodward is a great candidate. I think Dan Radakovich, who was at LSU as the senior associate AD from 01 to 06, makes a good bit of sense. A good friend of the program, Verge Allsbury. Some rumblings, in fact, a few reports out there that he'll take over on an interim basis. But if you look at the phrasing that the Baton Rouge Business Report used, I don't know that our guy Verge is going to really get strongly considered as the full-time AD. I'm not throwing a hat into the ring saying he should or he shouldn't. But the way they referred to a national brand name guy, I don't know that they're going to go backyard play for this one. I just don't see that happening. Herb Vincent's name has been thrown out there, but again, I don't know if you're getting a first-time AD to run this rodeo. I think it may take a very strong candidate, possibly one of the guys I mentioned, but I could see a few others going into the mix as well. We got time for you, 706-0111. CD, who should be next?
I think it's got to be Scott Woodward. He's the guy that I'm leaning towards. He's the guy that, once I started hearing the news kind of started leaking out that this was going to be a possibility of the news coming down last night, not long after the Cajuns LSU Wally Pontiff Classic game wrapped up, I started hearing the news. I was like, let me just kind of check out, see what a lot of people are saying, a lot of observations. And I feel like Scott Woodward could be the guy.
You know, I don't think it's going to come down to money. It's going to come down to whether or not he really wants to be back home
exactly
that badly. Because, again, I'll give you the numbers for the sake of this conversation. He's making $900K a year base salary at A&M. Oliva was making $725 a year base salary at LSU. A&M is going to win any bidding war that they want to with LSU. So Woodward's going to have to decide, does he want to be back home? Is that a better fit for him? I don't know if he does or he doesn't pull the trigger here. One thing I will tell you, the longer it goes, the less likely it's Woodward. Now that we have the Oliva domino that's technically fallen, and it just did at 4:01 p.m., LSU had its release. He's transitioning into a different role, assisting the president with donor relations. Now that we have that piece of the puzzle, LSU's got a vacancy. If we get to Monday, midday, Monday afternoon, boy, I think your chances of Woodward start to dwindle a little bit. I think if that is going to happen, it's going to happen sooner than later. I never, ever fully understand YP, you people out there in listener land. We've been doing this show, Clint, since May of 2015.
Yeah, almost 4 years.
We're creeping real fast on 4 years. We had a dude that called in and wanted to talk Warriors the other day, right after Tiger won the Masters, that there was movement with LSU and Will Wade after Dustin Diamond Poirier won the UFC lightweight title.
Yeah.
And we had a dude that called in and he just had to talk Warriors that day. And no pre-shade being thrown at him. But literally a subject that has been discussed, I don't know, once a week at minimum. Finally, you've got what you want. You have your answer. And nobody ringing the Artco Equipment Hotline. I'm blown away.
I'm blown away as well.
Maybe we'll start talking, I don't know, calf roping, and we'll start getting that call in. We'll rope in the calf roping segment of the population out there. You know how I feel about this now, and there's more that'll develop, and I'll make sure to share my thoughts as they come. I'm just shocked. You've wanted this every moment of every show that I've done here. You got it. Now I want to know what you think about it and who you think should be next. Because what I know is this. The Board of Supervisors sometimes makes things very difficult for the person in that seat. They removed Oliva last night in a coup that didn't even involve all of their own members. I'm floored by that, but maybe I shouldn't be. I think that LSU is very attractive on a number of levels for potential AD, but not knowing where your grasp starts and stops would be just infuriating for me. And as I told you earlier, I'm not sure that today's good news for either of the two basketball coaches at LSU. There you go. I'm on record. Now it's time for you. We're going to get out to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. All right, Frank, it's appropriate for you to break the ice. Hit me.
Well, Ben, we did talk about this. I don't like to give myself the mic to drop it, but like we talked about the other day, LSU is trying to move away from this stain on the carpet as fast as possible, and they need a scapegoat. They want a fall guy, like the JFK thing.
Yeah, look, there's no question that he's taking bullets for F. King Alexander here, but on the same token, there have been a lot of sins stacked up in Joe's corner before F. King Alexander ever got to Baton Rouge. So I'm not defending Alexander, but I think today was an inevitability. I'm just curious how they handle it moving forward and if they have the wherewithal to get the guy that they want. There's no such thing anymore as blaming it on Oliva.
Well, this is the thing you got to point back to. It's something that one of your many guests have said. You know, all these coaches cheat. It's just who gets caught. You know, it's not an honest system anymore. Nothing is honest anymore. So, you know, who gets caught? Will Wade is subpoenaed, but is he going to say something detrimental? And I think that's what everybody at LSU wanted to hear. You know, what are you going to say in court? How will this hurt the program? Who can we get rid of to make this kind of go under the rug a little bit and move on from here?
Yeah, it's a little harder for me than you, it sounds like, to draw the correlation. I'll tell you what I mean, as Clint basically plays me off of my own show a little bit right here. Power play from CD. Guy just joined the Board of Supervisors. Not really sure what the hell that was. Unbelievable from Clint over there. I got a little time here. And so here's what I will say before we break. I don't know that it's fair to connect today's events solely to what has happened with Will Wade. More on that when we return. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
He's to the 10, the 5, touchdown!
Gridiron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Well, I had never thought of it that way.
But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
Well, the news is not done breaking. Oh, I'm being serious. Bumper to Bumper Sports back in on 103.7 The Game. And according to a report from Billy Lucci, TexAgs.com, LSU pretty serious in taking care of their business as well. Billy Lucci, 4:25 p.m., right as Clint and I were going in toward a break. Per multiple sources, Scott Woodward has signed on to become LSU's next athletics director. The Baton Rouge native is heading home. Wow. Maybe the biggest home run hire since I've been covering LSU athletics. There were several moves LSU's made that I thought had been dynamite. When they first brought on John Chief Chavis as defensive coordinator, I said, yeah, that's one heck of a move. It's the right fit. And for a while, it was. A lot of people felt that excited about Will Wade, and many of you still are. This might just supersede all of them. We don't know the details, the financials. We don't know how the power structure / struggle may go down. We don't even have an official announcement from LSU. But if you're looking for credibility on the Aggie side of the fence, Billy Lucci, about as true blue as they come. And he just reported within the last, now, 10 minutes that Scott Woodward will be the next AD of LSU. Well, the one thing I did tell you in the last segment, if it's going to be Woodward, it's going to happen quickly.
Yeah, and you got to think about it. It was probably going to happen quickly just because of how that press release was worded, with Oliva will continue to serve in his current role until a new athletics director is named. You got to imagine they had this in mind for a while and are really wanting to move the wheels really quickly here.
You know, it's interesting. I'll hesitate to use the word funny. LSU issued its release about Oliva transitioning into a role. You're just joining us. He'll now be serving at the behest of the president, assisting with donor relations. It's almost exactly what happened with Scott Farmer here in Lafayette, except he went to go actually teach and then went and took a job elsewhere as an AD. But that release from LSU came at 4:01 p.m. The report from Billy Lucci came at 4:25 p.m., so it's intriguing, funny, whatever word you want to use, serendipitous maybe. 24 minutes is now unofficially how long they needed to leave it to serve in that capacity until they found the next AD. 24 minutes. So hopefully Joe earned that comp time. 24 minutes.
That's impressive.
This day has been absolutely incredible. And I've intentionally vacated hour number one with guests so that you could be a part of the show. We heard from Frank a little bit earlier. We got time for more calls. 706-0111. I'll finish the thought that I started with, Frank. The Wade situation, I think it's easy to look at it and see that it's the straw that broke the camel's back as far as how Oliva, Alexander, LSU, the Board of Supervisors, everybody handled it. But I don't think it's completely fair to put that all on Oliva. Then again, these matters usually aren't really about what is fair and what's not. But as I said in the open, this is almost certainly the right outcome, and I think that it's overdue. But the fact that it took this Wade situation to get you across the finish line, that's a little interesting to me. And I'm not sure that it's completely fair to say that this only happened because of the Wade situation, but it is what maybe finally got you across the finish line. So might be semantics for you, but I find it intriguing. All right, let's get out to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. Chad, Joe Oliva is out, and reportedly Scott Woodward is in. How do you respond?
I think it's a great move. Scott, we don't know how long these discussions have been going on. Just because you don't think it's a top 10 job, maybe Scott does think it's a top 10 job. In every sport, they're probably ranked in the top 10 or 15. Just because of where Wade mattered, I think this is going to be resolved without NCAA penalties at all. And I think he has a lot to look forward to. Leave Texas A&M with the most money probably in the country at all D1 schools. It was a quick decision.
Let me ask you this, Chad. Here's my only thing. At no point have I said that just strictly from an athletic performance standpoint, even a funding standpoint, I'm not saying this isn't a top 10 or 15 job. I'm saying it's all about the politics. Can Woodward, who is familiar in these weeds, can he navigate that? Maybe, but that's where I think this becomes a trying job.
Right. Well, maybe not. Maybe for you, you think it is, but maybe not for him. So, thank you, man.
All right. Yeah, Chad disagrees with me. It happens. We got time for more. 706-0111. You know we always take all sides here. Let's get back to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. Kevin, what do you make of the day's news?
Hey, actually, I have a question. Oliva's new position, any idea on what the salary is? And is this a new position just created? Legislature's right now trying to work on a budget, and with higher ed going to the table, asking for more money, I just wonder if this is a good move.
That is a good question. What I will do is let you know the verbiage that we've got. Kevin, thanks for the call. He's transitioning into a new role as special assistant to the president for donor relations. I would venture a guess that this has been created for him. Special assistant to the president for donor relations. I'll just let you come to your own conclusions from that as well. It's a little Dwight Schrute-ish if you want to look at the office, if that's fair. It's almost a little bit Derek Panamsky-ish. Respect to my guy DP. Special assistant to the blank is usually a created position for somebody they want to keep on. And we need to consider this too, Kevin. In the case of Joe Oliva, it might just be the best way to avoid the payout. The Advocate reporting that Oliva, who is, what, he's got 1 year left on his contract, the Advocate is reporting that if they fire Oliva without cause, they'll owe him $227,000 within the next 30 days, and the remainder of his annual salary will be spread over 30 months. So it's really, it's not a huge hit in terms of a lump sum. You get to spread it out after the one $227,000 lick. You get to spread the rest out over, what, 2.5 years? And so I wonder if this position helps to offset that. In fact, I would feel pretty certain that it does. But it's a good question from Kevin. And it leads me to, and again, I respect exactly where Chad is coming from, because strictly on a performance basis, the Tiger Athletic Foundation is an incredibly powerful vehicle. Then I think in a lot of ways, this is a top 10, you could even say top 5 job in America. You could, absolutely. But it's not just the Board of Supervisors. It's the idea that there's a connection with the people who have the clout, you know, the old guard that's got the money, they've got the power, but you're basically your Richard Lipsies of the world, and how his backing of John Bel Edwards could be affected. Yeah, this is, after all, an election year. I mean, things are just so incredibly political. Can Scott Woodward cut through some of that? There's a great chance of it. And Chad said maybe it's not top 10 or 15 to you. It might be to him. I'm sure he sees this as potentially a dream job. I also think coming home is attractive to him. And so this is nothing short of great news. I'm not dampening the news. Everybody wanted Oliva out. They wanted somebody they thought was better. Check and check. It's been done. I just continue to marvel at how business is done within the LSU ranks. And I side completely with Tim Brando, who joined the show Monday and said that everything going on in Baton Rouge and the way that it's been conducted with Will Wade is exactly what's wrong with the NCAA model, and that it's an embarrassment for the state of Louisiana. It is, and it has been for more than a month now. Now, can injecting Woodward help to alleviate that? You got to hope so. I don't know that there's anybody more qualified to do it, so the news is nothing short of good. You need to hit cartwheels in the streets right now. But I think they need to get the hell out of this man's way and let him do his job. So that would be the biggest thing that I'm trying to convey here. He needs to have the power to make LSU's athletic department as great as they can be. All right, let's take our final break of the hour. When we return, we'll let you know if there's more breaking news. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, bouncing right back in on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. Back in one final time during the 4 o'clock hour. You're dialed into Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Phone lines open, 706-0111. For the sake of giving you at least one other storyline that's broken today, I'll get you the Saints schedule release. But we'll keep talking LSU, Joe Oliva, Scott Woodward as well. This release on the Saints, according to Doug Mouton, WWL. How about this? Monday Night Football against the Houston Texans week one. That would be a thing of beauty. And so the Saints, week after Labor Day, reportedly are going to play the Houston Texans Monday Night Football. No Honey Badger coming back to the Superdome, but still, that would be a whole lot of fun. Saints Texans week one Monday Night Football. After that, at the Rams. After that, at Seattle, both slated for 325 kicks. So the Saints would go on the road to a couple of pretty talented, tough teams in the NFC weeks 2 and 3. Week 4, Sunday Night Football against the Dallas Cowboys. I won't go chapter and verse through the rest of it. What I will share with you, some of the highlights. Again, we're going to get Saints-Falcons Thanksgiving Thursday night. Best I can tell, this time around it's going to be in Atlanta. So a run-it-back game in the A. Saints-Falcons, Thanksgiving night. That's week 13 this year. Outside of that, Monday Night Football, Saints versus the Colts, week 15. And really from there, nothing too special. So if what we're getting today is true, and no reason to believe it's not, Doug Mouton with WWL all over it, you've got Monday Night Football twice over. Home against the Texans, home against the Colts. I think the Saints aren't a pretty big name brand. Well, let's reinforce that. Sunday Night Football, week 4, against the Cowboys. So the Saints, three times to play on either Monday or Sunday night are all in the Superdome. The one time that they are slated for prime time on the road, as I mentioned, that Thanksgiving Week 13 game at Atlanta. Saints are going to have one heck of a schedule next year. And if you're looking to take some road trips, there will be opportunities to some pretty cool places and some very good teams. I mentioned at the Rams, at Seattle. Saints are at Jacksonville, at Chicago, at the Tennessee Titans as well. So a number of teams that made the playoffs last year. And like I mentioned, pretty cool venues too. You know, the other item that I fully intended to lead with today, I got to take in every millisecond of the Wally Pontiff Classic. That was one heck of a baseball game. Cajuns won it in almost LSU-type fashion, didn't they? Back-to-back Jacks. Oren Vaillant, the STM product. Boy, he is a heck of a... That's how you would mold it, right? I mean, the kid is just built for it, right? And just doesn't get cheated on any of his hacks. And he absolutely hammered that ball to left field, followed up by Hanson Monica. So Trent Vitmire dinged up LSU. My takeaway from that game is simply this. It's not really that big of a sum loss if you're LSU, but it's a pretty big win if you're the Cajuns. Not just for bragging rights, not just three straight over LSU, but probably more importantly, you got a chance to get some momentum going. Because at this point, if you're Tony Robichaud and company, you have to win. That's the only way. You have to win the Sun Belt Conference tournament to get into the postseason. As for LSU, it's just about getting healthy, about getting back to the box, regrouping, and seeing if you get all hands on deck, replace some of the alternative hitters that you had to use last night. You'd rather see Chris Reed. You'd rather see Zach Watson. You want to get some of your guys back into the regular lineup. As far as the pitching goes, the only thing that stinks is you burnt Vitmire for the Gators this weekend. But awfully entertaining game and a lot of fun to be in the stands for that one and take that in. Definitely a lot more purple and gold than vermilion and white, but there was some healthy and then some not so healthy back and forth. Trust me on that. All right, we got more time for you to call in. We'll go back to the story of the day to close out hour number one, taking your thoughts on it as well. 706-0111. And as always, we'll never ask you to agree with me. Chad didn't. Hey, it's nothing but love and respect. The type of job this is, I guess really doesn't matter that much anymore, does it? It appears that Scott Woodward wants this job, based off a report from Billy Lucci, TexAgs.com, and it would be a massive upgrade over Joe Oliva. There are no two ways around that. My contention is that they need to take the shackles off of whoever is in that job. Oliva, and I'm going to completely side with my guy Charlie Hanegraaff. I know he said this on ESPN Radio in Baton Rouge earlier today. I know he did. And he's right about this. Not everything that Oliva has been slammed for over the years was left to him. But I guess that's a lot of jobs at a lot of places, right? There are fall guys just about everywhere. Oliva didn't suspend Will Wade over this whole matter because he wanted to. He was told to by his superior in F. King Alexander. There were certain things he wanted to do with Les Miles that he wasn't really allowed to do. It got very political. And again, that is my freaking point. Imagine that. It's always political. It's a political year. One of my favorite texts that I've gotten all day long. I got to give credit to my guy, David, the general manager at the Taproom River Ranch. In fact, David, you're listening. I know you are. The beer is on me tomorrow when I come out to do my show. He reminded me, Ben, it's an election year. No one is safe. It's like a Mexican soap opera. He ain't wrong. Make sure you step out of the way so the anvil can fall on somebody else. And I don't think the anvils are done falling yet. I'm not sure that F. King Alexander is safe in all of this. I think there are some definite changes that will continue to come to Baton Rouge, and that's what is needed. So again, that would be the only thing I stress to you at this point. You need the most talented people, the most connected people, the most upwardly mobile people in the most important positions possible. I've said for a long time, that's why I'm impressed with what I've seen for, I don't know, the last 18-plus months with Jim Harris at the RCAF, with Billy Napier as the football coach, with Dr. Brian Maggard. From a UL standpoint, they got guys that others are coveting. That's what you want. And now LSU's got somebody that, I mean, has been one of the up-and-coming stars in the AD game, Scott Woodward. Cut his teeth under one of the best, Dr. Mark Emmert. Don't think of Emmert as the NCAA president. Think of what he did for LSU. because if your memory's short, I'll refresh it for you. Emmert plus Saban equals every foundational thing that you see right now at LSU, and not just for football. I mean, those guys really helped to build this thing. They had the vision, they had the stones, and they delivered. And now one of Emmert's own is coming home in Scott Woodward. I think it's fantastic news. If you're an LSU fan, I would suggest you align yourself with that as well. But my biggest point of contention is they better let this man do his job, because he's awfully good at it. And there's the part that I haven't mentioned yet that I'll add right now. The added caveat here, you have to ding your rival in the process. And so everything from last Thanksgiving week, the unpleasantness, seven overtimes, LSU at A&M, Kevin Faulk involved in that, John Battle getting a lick in there, a lick getting in on Steve Kragthorpe, everything that happened. Go back further than that, John Chavis. Yeah, there's been a lot of unpleasantness, and that's going to continue now. And I'm sure LSU fans will be happy with that as well, as they probably should. You get to take away from your chief rival. And the other thing I find interesting in all of this, Jimbo Fisher was lured away from Florida State by his friend, by somebody he trusted in Scott Woodward, and now he's gone, and hey, that's the business. Buzz Williams has served all of, like, I don't know, like 11 days or whatever it's been under Scott Woodward. So now these coaches get a little bit of a taste of how the kids feel when they sign letters of intent and then it's adios amigos from the head coach. It's funny how that goes up the line and it can keep happening. So pretty big things happening today in the world of LSU athletics, and I think it's almost all good news. But I think the board and everybody else needs to get out of this man's way. That's what I'll tell you. All right, let's get to one final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Gutsy, and I haven't talked nearly as much about the Pontiff Classic as I expected to today, and I think you all understand why, but the performance last night from Jacob Schultz was incredibly gutsy. Four scoreless innings, and he absolutely rescued that bad boy. Cajuns were down. Offense helped out, but Jacob Schultz, I think he's given some hope for the future of what he can be about. Big stage last night, 10,000 people, place was jacked, and the kid was gutsy. That's the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. They're your final stop to fill up the stomach and tank as you head home on Maurice Avenue. We're halfway home ourselves. Scott Alexander, Kyle Gideon joining me in hour number two. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your lives.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour two of two underway. It is a busy day. And Bumper to Bumper Sports, thrilled to take you home on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D inside the 237 Roof Studios. Remember, no job too big or too small. Just call Lafayette Roofing at 237-7663. It was newsworthy, at least for a little while, it felt like, that the Cajuns beat LSU last night in Metairie. Did it change the outlook of the season for LSU because they lost? Absolutely not. Is it going to change the outlook for the Cajuns because they won? Time will tell. Can't hurt, but RPI boost at this point? It's too little too late for that. Robe and company, they need to keep winning and do exactly that in the Sunbelt Conference Tournament. But very quickly, that was replaced as your big storyline of the day. I'd say it happened at about 10:30, maybe 10:45. The Baton Rouge Business Report dispatched a report that LSU AD Joe Oliva was set to resign. Now, that didn't exactly come to fruition because, as we saw at 4:01 p.m., LSU itself internally issued a release that Oliva would be reassigned and that he would be taking over as a special assistant to the president in terms of donor relations. That would be his area of expertise there in reporting to President F. King Alexander. So Oliva reassigned, and now, according to Billy Lucci, this as of about 4:25 p.m., Billy Lucci does great work, very plugged in with TexAgs.com, and he's saying that Scott Woodward, Baton Rouge native, is coming home, and that he has signed on to be the next AD at LSU. And so just an absolute barrage of news today on a hump day. And so we pivot to this as your lead story, and for the next 10 minutes or so, we're happy to take your calls on it. 706-0111. You know, the other details at this point, if LSU had fired Oliva without cause, they'd have owed him $227,000 within 30 days, and the remainder of his $725,000 annual salary over 30 months, equally split. Looks like this reassignment will mean he doesn't have to go through any of that, and LSU won't owe him any of that money. But Woodward coming in can be considered nothing short of a home run hire for the Tigers. And I'll credit Glenn Gilbo, the Daily Advertiser. You know, something he put on Twitter, it rings true that LSU, it's almost ironic, in getting rid of Oliva, they finally did this thing right. And in so many ways, they couldn't get this accomplished with Oliva at the helm. They couldn't have their next hire lined up when they dropped the axe on the current guy. That's why the Miles situation was butchered so bad at the end of 15 and into 2016. This time around, if the report from Billy Lucci is true, and I've got no reason to believe it's not, then what we've seen transpire is exactly how you do this. You actually go behind the scenes and make the home run hire, and then, and only then, do you make the move on the guy currently sitting in the chair. But the other part that it just continues to captivate me, I'm curious your thoughts on this. LSU last night had an executive session, a meeting with its board of supervisors, and part of what was supposed to come out of that was, well, you didn't expect it, but they said, hey, this is really about litigation that could be coming toward the university, the athletic department, whatever, and has nothing to do with any of this. But then the rumblings last night were, wow, okay, so they met, and at least part of what they discussed was Joe Oliva might be out of a job, and they did it without all of the board present. So to me, Clint, that continues to be something that part is systemic in some of the problems at LSU, and it's going to have to be addressed long term. I don't know how you do it. I'm not sure that Alexander is safe in any of this either. If Woodward comes in, maybe he even gets to help choose who he wants to work for and with in that situation. There's a lot of ways that they can arrange those pieces to the puzzle. But the Board of Supervisors last night just with another interesting way of conducting business.
Exactly. It's a really weird way to conduct business, but I think it might wind up being an interesting scenario going forward because you don't have everybody available to be part of that meeting last night. And it makes you wonder, like, were the guys that weren't necessarily a part of that meeting, Oliva, like, quote-unquote guys in this situation?
The Advocate report would lead you to believe the answer to that question. Yes.
Okay.
You know, the Advocate report says that not everybody was on board. Well, you know, here's the deal. Eventually, if you're split, yeah, you're going to have to take a majority decision. Okay, I get that. I can follow that. But if you have a meeting and maybe some of those people who were, you know, not following your agenda weren't invited, weren't able to come, well, that's a little dubious, right? And so the end result is Oliva is out, and that always had to happen.
Yep.
Always had to happen. Probably overdue. I also think the guys had one of the toughest jobs in America in his industry. I firmly believe that. And we've already had one caller tell me that he thinks this is a great job to be the AD at LSU and gave some of the reasons why, and I can't dispute some of those, and I'm not going to try to. I just think it's always a little deeper than that. But today is nothing short of, it might as well be a holiday, right? April 17th, moving forward. It's the day that LSU was alleviated of its problem at AD. They brought in one of their own, and they'll have a chance to move forward with somebody who has pulled the strings on some pretty successful programs. And it's not just the splash hires at A&M. Don't forget, Scott Woodward's the guy that was able to get the guy from Boise, Chris Peterson came over to UW when nobody thought he would ever leave his post as the head of the Potato State. He left Boise, where he turned a mid-major into a power, and went to Washington. Nobody thought that was going to happen. And then Washington was in the Final Four. So this guy's got one heck of a track record. I'm thrilled to see him coming to Baton Rouge. I think it's nothing but positive news. But as I've been saying, I won't keep beating the dead horse here. I just think you got to let the guy do his job, and I hope they have the wherewithal and a system in place to actually allow him to do that. All right, now to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Ron, you're up first.
How you doing, Ben? Yeah, I just want to comment on Joe Oliva. We ever looked at this thing like as far as how you handle it with Les Miles, I think that Joe Oliva actually made an emotional choice right there with Les Miles, because a lot of people, if you go back to that time, a lot of people were really emotional about Les Miles. They had people who really loved the guy. And they had a lot of people was really emotional about him. I think Joe Oliva got drawn into the emotional part. Now, the Will Wade situation, I think he was protecting the school. And then he still came out looking pretty bad. I mean, look at the Vanderbilt game, and he made a business choice, and he still looked bad doing it, you know. So I'm just kind of saying I'm believing that LSU is a tough place to be a coach our AD, because people are real emotional, passionate, and sometimes that line get blurred, I guess.
Oh, it would be one of the toughest jobs to step into, emotional, political, all of the above. And if you can't pull the strings and kind of guide your own destiny, it's just got to be frustrating is all I would suggest. I hope that part changes moving forward.
I agree with you.
All right, Ron, you know, I appreciate you.
All right.
And that's well said. Oliva had to put himself in these positions even when he didn't want to. I don't think he wanted to suspend Wade. There's been an email out unearthed by a Freedom of Information Act. F. King Alexander made him do it. Well, you got to do what your boss tells you. And again, if you don't meet with your boss, you're going to get suspended. So I get why all that happened as well. Ron and I have been in lockstep on at least that part of it. They had to make a business decision and protect the shield a little bit. How today affects Wade moving forward is going to be an interesting storyline. And I don't pretend to have the answers to that for you. Still don't know what comes out of the federal trial next week. That's a huge variable in all this. Still don't know about the NCAA on campus. Are they still there? How long will they infiltrate? What are they looking for? What's possible? I don't think any of us know the answers to those things. But a strong leader at the top can help everything. But typically when a new AD comes in, it's not usually good news for anybody that's a head coach on campus. I think for Wade and for Nikki Fargus, today's news probably isn't the greatest. Doesn't guarantee that they're getting the axe. I just don't think today's news is the greatest. That's some of the rumblings I've been hearing over the last few hours. All right, another trip out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Craig, thank you for waiting. The floor is yours.
What's up, Ben, though?
Oh, just trying to wade through all of it, brother.
Yeah. Love the pun, by the way. Alleviate.
Use it as your
That's
own.
Awesome. Yeah. I think this is a grand slam, man. Being the fact that he was instrumental in getting Nick Saban over here, like you mentioned, Chris Peterson, pulling Jimbo over from Florida State, Buzz Williams. I mean, the list goes on and on. Oliva had his time, but now it is his time to head out. My question is, this new position that he's being transitioned to, I understand it might be monetary. Maybe that's the reason why they're moving him is for financial reasons, and how long he's going to be there. And number one question I want to ask you is, how does this affect him with the president? Because the title you said was associate to the president, and how would that in fact impact the possibility of F. King getting the boot?
That's a really good question. Let me see if I can address that for you, Craig. Thanks for the dial.
Thank you, sir.
The title of the position that Oliva is transitioning to is Special Assistant to the President for Donor Relations. And so at the current time, he'll be reporting to F. King Alexander. That's really something I hadn't considered. And I don't know that I'm going to be able to answer this question with certainty right now, but my mind is racing a little bit because, yeah, okay. All right, so now he reports to the president. What happens if the president gets fired? New person comes in and they get to clean shop. So did LSU just find, like, the most badass loophole of all time to stash this guy, Scott Farmer style, elsewhere within the organization to avoid the buyout? And then a couple weeks later, they fire Alexander and, everybody in the department's going to, so sorry, nothing to see here, moving along. That would be interesting. Is that legal? I don't know. Would they still find a way if you had legal representation for Oliva to say, hey, this is a little hokey. I think you owe me the buyout, right? This is a shadow game. Maybe so. But it's an interesting thought, Craig. We've already had one call where somebody wanted to know how this might affect the legislative session, everything that's coming up in a political year. That's a little above my head without having prepped it. I got to be honest with you. But we'll see if we can't get some of those answers for tomorrow's program. First break of the hour coming up. On the other side, Scott Alexander, way down on the list of things that have happened today in Louisiana sports, is something that might end up being one of the most important. David Griffin was introduced as the president of basketball operations for the New Orleans Pelicans. Scott Alexander was there. He joins us next. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back in busy times. Glad you're with us on 103.7 The Game.
Going back to our regular show.
All right, this is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 103.7 The Game.
It's a prime time to come right back in. More Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game. The pun, it's always intentional, and hopefully it's always welcome. Let's get out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Heading to New Orleans, our good friend Scott Alexander. You can watch primetime sports with Scott Alexander on CST, and you should. Scott, how are you today?
I couldn't be better, my friend. Fantastic down here in the Crescent City. How you been? I miss you.
Hey, life is good. Your guy Timmy Brando stopped by earlier this week, was dynamite on the Will Wade situation, on Tiger Woods. Just a few topics floating around the sports world today.
Yeah, he loves him some Tiger Woods. He loves golf. I know Tim Brando probably had a lot to say about that, but I know one thing he loves even more after his 6 to 7 month schedule. He loves being off for the next few months until football season comes around. But, yeah, you're right. This news cycle, which is usually one of our slower ones, at least here in New Orleans, maybe not nationally, is picked up quite a bit lately.
All right, you were at the introductory press conference. David Griffin, officially now the vice president of basketball operation for the Pels. Is there really an inkling of a chance that Anthony Davis sticks around now that this guy's in charge?
It's funny that you say that because I'm sitting here listening to the press conference. I'm right on the second row, actually. Fletcher Mackles to my right and some other media folks you probably know, and we're kind of looking at each other like, is he insinuating that Anthony Davis it's more than might be back? Like, he should have really actually consider being back. And you know what? I even put a tweet right then. I said, New Pels VP of Basketball Operations is surely insinuating that possibility that Anthony Davis should stay in New Orleans. And listen, he talked about the relationship that he already has with Rich Paul, which we know is from the Cleveland days when LeBron played in Cleveland. Rich Paul, obviously, is the agent that Anthony Davis has that's with LeBron. And you know, it a little bit makes sense because of the dumpster fire that is L.A. that he might listen. You know, obviously, L.A., a lot of things have changed. Magic's gone. There is discord. There's finally people, you know, towards the end of the season saying maybe it would be best. This is local L.A. people. That they trade LeBron just to start this thing over because it was such a dumpster fire last season. And you know, now he's looking at options. Where do I go? Everybody's talking Knicks maybe because, you know, but the Pelicans control what he does. That's the thing. For a year, the Pelicans can control what Anthony Davis does. He's not a Knick until the Pelicans decide, hey, we're going to trade you to the Knicks to make your little super team with Kyrie Irving and obviously Kevin Durant. But until that happens, David Griffin really holds the cards. And if you're around him like today, I got to speak with him on the side a little bit. Obviously, I listened, and I just put a 6-word tweet. I basically said insightful, thoughtful, articulate, vision, leader, provocative. The future is bright for the Pelicans. Hashtag David Griffin. Because I've known the guy a little bit. I was an agent for a while in the circles where I've been around him. But the leadership I saw today, quite frankly, I was extremely surprised in a good way. That I was like, wow, this team, I just feel very strong about the words this guy spoke and the way he spoke them, the way he answered every single question. just think the guy's a winner and a great leader, and I think the future really is bright, no matter if Anthony Davis is here or not.
You know, one thing I've been asked about, and I don't know the answer, so I'm going to pose it to you, Scott. Where are the Pelicans in terms of the league's hierarchy with analytics, right? Where do they rank, and how much is that an impetus in what he wants to do, David Griffin?
He's big on analytics, but he's also that question was actually broached. He's also not going to live and die with analytics like some. But he's very analytical, and the Pelicans have been as well, believe it or not. They have employed people that are not basketball necessarily people. Maybe people enjoy it, but the people you would not expect. They have a number of numbers people there. I shouldn't say a number. They have a couple, at least maybe more, are people that are all about analytics. And Dell Demps did employ that a good bit. I know that's the trend in the NBA to do that. And I'm not even sure every listener out there that's hearing you say that knows exactly what you're talking about. And you can explain that later. But the fact is David Griffin is a guy that's a visionary. And I honestly, I knew he was smart. And I knew he would be great at this job. But I would never have used the visionary thing as much as I am going to today after hearing him. And it's not just what y'all heard in the press conference. It's not even what everybody else heard in the media. I mean, the way we talked on the side, I mean, the guy is really impressive. And I see him talking about this future. Like, he's not giving the small market thing any excuse. He's like, he actually used a word that you can't say on TV. So I know all the TV stations are going to have to edit it. But he said it's BS. He goes, I'm not going to use that because it's not true. Oklahoma City used to win regularly. They didn't win at all, but they did get to a final. And a lot of teams, San Antonio, they've all won. So it can happen here. And he actually was trying to make even the most cynical of media people here, and there's a lot of them in New Orleans, actually, I could see their faces. They're actually kind of starting to believe in him as well.
Our pleasure to talk with the host of Primetime Sports with Scott Alexander. TV you can and you should watch on CST. We'll tell you about his weekly lineup here in a moment. You should also follow Scott on Twitter, at DScottAlexander. Aside from AD, what's the next biggest thing on his docket? And whether it's retaining certain players, going out in free agency, what's the 1A or maybe the number 2 after AD?
Well, I mean, listen, he couldn't say enough nice things about Jrue Holiday, and he feels that Jrue Holiday embodies what this team's about. So I don't think he has any intention of trading him. I know a lot of people are saying, hey, just make it, scrap it and start over. I don't see it happen unless he was bowled over by an offer. I mean, I could probably, in fact, I can't name more than the fingers on one hand guards in this league that I'd rather have than Jrue Holiday as a two-way player. And I mean that. And that's a fact. So he talked about building around Jrue, whether it's with AD or not. I know they're seriously going to consider the free agents that they have that were free agents on one-year deals with an option, player options last year. And those guys, obviously, are Julius Randle and Elfrid Payton. I think both those guys, when healthy, and particularly I'm talking Payton because he's the one that his injury, I think, is the one that sunk the team in the first place. Because if he doesn't get hurt, they're 4-0 with him. And all of a sudden, you know, him coupled with a couple other nagging injuries those first little 2 months is really what sunk this whole deal and what prompted AD to say, hey, enough's enough, I'm out. So the fact is he's going to bring smart kind of players here. He's going to look at the team aspect of this and not just, oh, my God, let's try to put a fantasy team together. Let's just go. He looks into the future of what the roles are with the guys he brings in and how they are going to interact in the locker room. And honestly, you see some of these teams. You saw the Lakers this year, although their talent was down. But I'm going to say even the Lakers back when they brought in Karl Malone and Gary Payton, that team had the best record all year. They were 7-1 favorite to beat the Pistons that year, but that locker room was terrible. Pistons, on the other hand, had a great locker room. And everybody forgets that was the biggest underdog in NBA history going into the series. I mean, the Nets and the 76ers against the previous Shaq Lakers were close, but not even that. So the fact is that the locker room is so important in the game of basketball because there's so few people in it, you know, and they have to get together and they have to be along. It's not like you have 9 on a baseball diamond and all these relievers and starters. You know, you only have 5 on the court at one time. You only have 7 reserves. These guys have to interact, and they have to be as one.
All right, Scott, before we part ways, tell us about Primetime Sports, who you got coming up this week, and also you're just rolling still with rugby in the Crescent City.
Oh, rugby's just killing it right now. I mean, I am so loving this now. I feel blessed now that I'm part of it. I am the voice of that rugby team. They are 8-2. They are rolling. If you're ever – I know this is Acadiana, and I know it's a two-hour drive, but I'm going to tell you what, if you want bang for your buck, it's only $25 a ticket. And we're giving them – because we added an extra home game because Austin Stadium had problems, we're giving tickets for $10 on this game that just got added this week on May 4th. I'm going to tell you what, this is world-class athletes. It's not the minor leagues. We're not talking the baby cakes. We're not talking the jester soccer. We're talking major league athletes from around the world that have been in the Olympics, World Cup, and they're phenomenal. So that's an opportunity for y'all to check this out, and you'd be blown away because these are NFL caliber athletes in a sport that I didn't know 3 or 4 months ago, and now I'm in love with it. The other thing is the show. That's still rolling, man. Every week we're getting great guests. This week, brand-new Tulane head coach Ron Hunter. This guy is a dream. I mean, he's so much fun to talk to, so much energy. I've actually never seen anything like this. And he's got Georgia State. You guys know well, UL. He's been in the tournament 3 out of the last 5 years. He's on Mike Dettillier. Speaking of energy, he talks all about the NFL draft and all the guys from Louisiana that are going to be in it and who the Saints might take. And it's very entertaining. We brought out stuff that you haven't heard on other stations about when he's been on. And the third one is Steve Worthy, the tournament director for the Zurich, and that was fabulous. He still has hopes of the next 48 hours that Tiger might come. He feels like there's a real chance, and that would be kind of cool, but he's adding players as we speak. And last year they had 10 of the top 14 in the world. For a tournament like in New Orleans, that's unbelievable, and he's trying to duplicate that, and they're not far away. So it's going to be fun. We only have one more airing that's going to be in your neck of the woods. It's going to be on in New Orleans tomorrow at 10 because we've already had 3 or 4 airings that start on Tuesday. But 5 o'clock Saturday, if you can take a look, I think you'll enjoy it. It's primetime sports on CST, Channel 37.
Incredible lineup. You're an incredible guest, my friend. Scott Alexander, thanks for the time.
You are the best. Take care, Ben.
How about that? David Griffin, ready to get it done in New Orleans. Quick break. When we return, time to throw a little shade. And I haven't yet given you Stanley Jacobs coming from off the top rope on Joe Oliva. That comes next. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back on 103.7 The Game.
T.com. Price, selection, and friendly service. It's all at Auto Guarantee. Highway 91 in Eunice.
Atchafalaya Gold Casino is the talk of the town. If you're ready to win, our machines are ready to pay. We're always working to provide the best experience for all our customers. Will you be our next big winner? Atchafalaya Gold Casino, exit 115 in Henderson.
When you need an electrician, you want someone fair, dependable, on time, and thorough. And Mr. Electric is exactly who you're looking for. Our technicians deliver honest, upfront pricing, quality service, and one of the best warranties in the business. Call Mr. Electric or visit MrElectric.com/Lafayette.
Shop local. Shop certified South Louisiana.
103.7 The Game presents the Chris Young Raised on Country Music Tour coming to Lafayette's Cajun Dome Thursday, September 5th, with special guests Chris Jansen and Low Cash. Tickets go on sale Friday. 103.7 The Game has your free tickets. Win them before you buy them. Text YOUNG to 68683. That's YOUNG to 68683. Win tickets to see Chris Young. Find out more at 1037thegame.com.
Another reminder, we're taking submissions right now for your high school student athlete of the month. We're going to award one young man, one young woman from the Acadiana area in the month of April. So hurry up, go to 1037thegame.com and submit for your nominee. Give us your reason why, and in about 10 days, we're going to select April's winners. We've already done March. Hey, we'll do May as well. It's the 1037 The Game Student Athlete of the Month, and it's presented by Ardco Equipment.
Let's go, people.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 1037thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
Right back in. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Your big story of the day, Joe Oliva out and reportedly Scott Woodward in as director of athletics at LSU. Also, the Saints, we've now got a rough outline of the schedule for 2019 primetime games. Monday Night Football to lead the season at home against the Houston Texans. They'll also have a Monday night game against the Colts in Week 15 at home. A Sunday night game against the Cowboys Week 4 at home. And a Thanksgiving night game against the Falcons again, but this time in the ATL. We've spent a little time talking LSU-UL baseball, Pontiff Classic. That was the best game I've been to so far associated with the Classic with these two teams in it. It was unbelievable. And UL should be proud of the effort. They kind of did it in an LSU-type way, at least in the eighth. They got real gorilla ball with it for a little while. Oren Vayon, Handsome Monica, and it could be a catalyst to help spur on these Raging Cajuns, who today took a bus trip to UT Arlington. As for LSU, can't get too down over a midweek loss, but it's time to get healthy and get right. And unfortunately, Trent Vitmire, not his best outing last night. Looks like he'll be burnt for the weekend set with Florida coming to Baton Rouge this weekend. We have frequented all three of those topics. And before we throw the shade, here's one other bit of news I wanted to share with you. Credit to Rod Walker with The Advocate. Former Saints cornerback Keenan Lewis has been named the new football head coach at Landry Walker. That is pretty darn cool. And so Keenan Lewis will be on the sidelines for a powerhouse, at least occasionally. They have been exactly that at the 5A level. All right, now it's time for your daily reminder. Really, it's a PSA locally that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the cypress accents. And know that you can trust in their professional installers. You can trust them inside your home and to beautify life outside your home. Alex will put up the shades and awnings while Todd mans the installation of your patio covers and the gorgeous customizable screen rooms. Collectively, the team at Patio Center, they're ready to up your patio game in 2019. All it takes to start, a trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization, it's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
Unbelievable quote that Glenn Gilbo of the Daily Advertiser was able to get out of Stanley Jacobs. Jacobs, at this point, a former Board of Supervisors member at LSU. He left that board a year ago, and I'll present this in its entirety. Quote, and this is all about Oliva. I tried to take him out years ago, but I swung and missed, and now it looks like the board and administration have finally got it. If the story is true, I tried fervently to take him out. End quote. And so again, I'll reiterate to you, this is the sum of a lot that Oliva has done that I don't think has always guided LSU in the right direction. He's had an incredibly tough job. I wouldn't want to be in his shoes, and I've said that over the last hour and a half as well. But please understand that they've been wanting to do this. This is an aggregate thing. But wow, Stanley Jacobs put a little salt in the wound right as it goes down. And another thing, I mentioned this at the top of the show, and I'll bring it back because it fits this segment. Rolf McCollister, who is the president of the Baton Rouge Business Report, also a member of the LSU Board of Supervisors, his publication didn't release a single story during the entirety of the Will Wade suspension. Not a one. Boy, that would seem to qualify as news to me, especially if you run the Baton Rouge Business Report. And I'm not taking a pot shot because I'm just going to say again, you don't get to choose the news and what you report. They didn't put a single story out on Will Wade. And yet, it is the Baton Rouge Business Report that broke the news this morning that Joe Oliva would be resigning, which, by the way, he didn't. But they were right that he'd be out as AD. And so I'm throwing shade at the idea that you get to pick and choose your battles when it serves your agenda. That's not the way this game works.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade?
Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
All right, time for our final break of the program. When we return, fired up to welcome in live Kyle Gideon. We're going to talk about a huge Acadiana chapter banquet that's coming up for the Coastal Conservation Association of Louisiana. That's right, our anglers, everybody that just loves the coast, make sure you dial in. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back on 103.7 The Game.
Let's go, people.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
It has been a great day, and we plan to continue that. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back in on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love, thrilled to be joined now by Kyle Gideon, and we're excited to talk about the Coastal Conservation Association of Louisiana and a huge banquet that's coming up very, very soon. Kyle, welcome into the studio. How are you today?
Thank you so much, Ben. We appreciate it. I'm good today. Thanks.
Well, we got to talk about your event, and it's coming up April the 23rd. It's a Tuesday. It's at 5:30 p.m. at the Hyman Center. But before we do that, how about a little information on the CCA, exactly what you all have done and continue to do?
CCA is an organization that began in 1983. Its main goal and mission is to ensure the responsible management of Louisiana's fisheries resources. It started off with an idea to get gill nets out of the water. Gill nets indiscriminately kill game fish while trying to capture commercial fish. And at that point in time, they were killing thousands and thousands of redfish and speckled trout and gill nets. So CCA was mobilized, got the legislature to ban gill nets. Then it moved on to giving redfish game fish status. Redfish at one time were a commercial fish. They almost depleted the population by commercially fishing that resource and then went to a game fish status for redfish. Currently, our big things at CCA are developing reefs. Several years ago, the federal government began a program of removing or making oil companies remove non-producing oil field platforms and structures. That's our fisheries resource. That's habitat for the fish. It's where they feed. It's where they rest. It's where they get out of the tide in order to recover. And because those structures were being removed, it was beginning to deplete the resource. They didn't have the places to feed. And 90% of fish are caught in 10% of the water, and it's usually around these platforms. So what CCA has begun doing is constructing artificial reefs where those structures once were, and they are constructing those artificial reefs using old roadway materials, old building materials, culverts, etc. And that is far enough below the surface of the water so that it's not a hazard to navigation, and it still allows the fish to have a location to feed where the barnacles set up, etc.
And I don't know if I told you this. We're joined now by Kyle Gideon, but my father for his entire working career was with the Wildlife and Fisheries here in Louisiana. So this is something pretty near and dear to my family and a lot of people certainly who are listening. There are 29 chapters statewide. And so for what you all have been able to accomplish, not only statewide but in Lafayette, if you could speak a little to that and maybe the membership that continues to grow.
Statewide, we have 23,000 or more members in CCA. Lafayette has one of the most highly organized and large visible chapters in the state. We consistently are one of the top producers at our banquet in the fundraising realm. We have a very active committee who year in, year out plans a wonderful, wonderful banquet. And that's sort of our opportunity for not only the guys who are extremely involved in CCA, but to get the grassroots guys, the guys who are just members, to come in every year. We have this banquet as an open bar that starts at 5:30.
You just got a lot of people's attention.
Open bar at 5:30. We have a silent auction with tons of great fishing gear, tons of great artwork. Then we go into a dinner time at about 7 o'clock, a great meal, catered meal. And then they begin a live auction, which has wonderful fishing trips, again, a lot of art, some custom fishing rods and reels, and just really nice stuff. And it's a wonderful opportunity to get together with your buddies. I know I go and have been going since the 1980s, and I see a lot of guys that I might not see otherwise. But, you know, we're part of the fishing fraternity, and we meet up at this banquet every year, and it's a really, really fun time.
And there's more information that our listeners can gather online, ccalouisiana.com. You're also welcome to call Corey Landry, 337-380-4778 for table and ticket information. And part of what I love, and you can back this up, Kyle, but they can buy tickets by the person for a table of eight to bring a spouse. And I really love this last part, to bring the youth, right?
Right.
And to get the next generation involved. Every single purchase of one of these tickets involves a one-year CCA membership as well. So it's an opportunity to not only get included next Tuesday, April the 23rd at the Hyman Center, but to stay involved.
Correct. And you know, your membership entitles you to qualify to fish in the Star Tournament, which is a huge fishing tournament we put on every year. It goes from Memorial Day to Labor Day. You have to be a CCA member in order to enter. So that's a great opportunity. We have hundreds of tagged redfish across the coast. You catch a tagged redfish, you have the opportunity to win a truck or a boat. You also have numerous categories of fish that if you catch a large fish, weigh it in, you can, again, win a boat. So that's a great opportunity. You get the CCA magazine, and you get the opportunity to participate in some of our programs and projects throughout the course of the year.
And as we mentioned, the banquet Tuesday night at the Hyman Center, the CCA Acadiana Chapter Banquet. You've got a silent auction that's going to begin. So, again, if you don't mind, for our listeners, some of the things that they might be able to get in on there. When they come, they enjoy the open bar, they get ready for dinner at 7. What all is going to be included and encompassed in the silent auction?
Silent auction items usually are a lot of fishing tackle, rods and reels. You have artwork, artwork from local artisans, you know, not just the frame print that you can pick up at, you know, any art store. You have stuff that people from around here put together and sell. Knives, sunglasses, jewelry, you name it, it's on the silent auction. It's things that we as a committee get together, go out into the community and have people donate to our cause.
You know, we mentioned earlier the opportunity to bring youth, and it's only $25 for the kids to tag along with you. How much have you seen that grow? And part of why I asked that question, I go onto social media, and I see it's not just St. Thomas More, but I see high schools locally that get involved with the fishing tournaments. I've been out to the STM Fishing Rodeo at Sippermore Point, and you see so many of the kids that get involved at that level. So how much do you see that at the banquet and then in general with CCA?
For years, CCA, particularly our Lafayette chapter, have actively tried to make this banquet a family-oriented situation where guys bring their spouses bring their guys, and we like to see the kids there. And there are plenty of youngsters who show up. They have a wonderful time. They enjoy watching the auction. In fact, we have a circumstance where when a kid walks in, they are given a ticket, and they get a door prize automatically for being at the banquet. So it's usually a pretty good opportunity for the kids to get involved. And this project we just recently did over at Sippermore Point with the floating islands, we had a couple of floating island projects this year where we've had over 100 high school students come out to Sippermore Point from their schools to help build a mat that has made up of native grasses that's brought out into the marsh and sunk to begin propagating those native grasses to help with some of the erosion issues we're having at Sippermore Point.
improving the habitat, thwarting any type of erosion. So many great things that you all are doing. And again, there's an opportunity to get involved, whether you are now or you're thinking about it. We encourage you to go to the website, ccalouisiana.com, or you call Corey Landry about your tickets to this event Tuesday night at the Hyman Center. His number, local area code 337-380-4778. And lucky you, we're almost out of time, so you don't have to answer all the questions about Joe Oliva and Scott Woodward, Will Wade, and all those things. We didn't save any of that for you.
Thank you.
Kyle Gideon joining us from the CCA Acadiana chapter. Again, their banquet coming up Tuesday night. Kyle, thank you for stopping in and doing this.
Thank you, and we appreciate you letting me be on and promoting our chapter banquet.
It's always a good time. We get people to come into the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing, and here's how the cookie crumbles. I woke up this morning on very, very short sleep, right? Got in late from the Wally Pontiff Junior Classic. It's the best Pontiff Classic game that I have seen to date going out to Metairie. Thought we'd talk all about it. Thought we'd talk about, speaking of STM, a former Cougar and Oren Vejon, who was incredible last night. Handsome Monica Gojar, Jacob Schultz, UL had some big-time performances, and Cade Beloso cranked the ball off the pole in right field that I think was still elevating when it went out. So a lot of big performances, but boy, that's about third or fourth on the depth chart of things we've been talking about. So you're just joining us. Ben, what are you talking about with Will Wade, with Scott Woodward, with Joe Oliva? Your news is this. Joe Oliva transitioning into a new role. He's no longer the AD. He's a special assistant to the president, with donor relations being his new purview. Taking his place, according to Billy Lucci, TexAgs.com, Scott Woodward, Catholic High, a Baton Rouge alum. He and I share that alma mater. Went to LSU. Was at LSU under Dr. Mark Emmert when Emmert was the chancellor, and all indications that he's coming from College Station back home to be the new AD. That is your big story of the day. We'll be following it through the night and into our program tomorrow. Come check me out tomorrow if you get a chance at the Tap Room River Ranch beginning at 4 o'clock. And then on Good Friday, I will have a show from Rufino's on the River. So we get out of the studio, a couple chances to link up with you in person. For the famous Clint D, all of our guests today, Kyle Gideon and Scott Alexander, my name is Ben Love. You've been listening to Bumper Sports. Five guys, stories and lies, up next on 103.7 The Game.